If you will, this morning, turn with me in our text. Our text will come from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31. It's Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how glorious Thou art. I thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art a faithful Lord, a faithful God, a faithful King, a faithful Sovereign. Oh Lord, I thank You that as we come into a new year, are brought to a new year, that in Thy faithfulness You have preserved a place, preserved a people, called us away from the world, set us in this place this day and this hour. I pray for, Lord, for those, Lord, who are sick, that Thy healing hand would be upon them, that You would unite all of our hearts and minds and souls in Thee right now, in this hour. Lord, may You come with power to our souls to speak comfort to our souls, that we would know, Lord, that Thou art near us, that Thou art in us, and Thou art the Lord of all life. To Thee be all praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This chapter that Isaiah wrote, it's a blessed chapter. It begins this way, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. This chapter begins with the Lord impressing upon His prophet to bring comfort, to speak comfortable words to His church. And He says something in verse 2, that her warfare is accomplished. This life seems to be one battle after another. It is great warfare. It is great warfare that we have every day of our lives. That, and such is the life. The scriptures do not lie. That is the life of the child of God down here. Because this is not our home. This is not our final resting place. This is not the place where we will eternally be. So as we live down here on earth, as we live in this body of sin that we all live in, we have a warfare. And the warfare, the Lord says, speak to the people of God, Isaiah, and tell them that that warfare has been accomplished, that the Lord has provided rest only in Himself, that as we have warfare in this life, The new man and old man warring every day, our war against sin, our war against the world, our war against Satan, all of these things that come into the life and all these powers that come into the life of the child of God, Isaiah is told to speak to the children of God that their warfare is accomplished in Christ and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The Lord had paid the ultimate price. The Lord had had the wrath of His Father poured out upon Him because of our sins. To pay the debt for our sins, He has paid double. And grace is the portion of the child of God's life. Yet we're told here that the child of God and the church has received of the Lord's hand double. We have received grace. We just sang that song, Grace That Is Greater Than Our Sin. And as we came to that part of the song, that's what the Lord impressed upon me. As I come to the house of God, as I'm drawn here, and I still have a warfare going on, and as my mind still is on the things of this world, and my mind is still on what the week is bringing, and the things that come into my life, the Lord says, what I've accomplished for you is rest. And my rest is not in the things of this world. My rest is not in circumstance or the riches or the names or the jobs or whatever it is that we have. Our rest is accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what He has given us, grace, is far beyond any measure that we'll ever be able to measure. Now, this chapter, as I said, is very glorious. I want to back up before we get to our text in 31. Before we examine it a little deeper, I want to begin in same chapter, verse 25, with a question. This section, as it's divided up in sections, this section at the end of this chapter starts, Isaiah starts with a question. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. It is a question to the children of God, and I pray to God that the Lord has asked you this question in your life. Have you been brought through the trials? Have you been brought through the difficulties? Have you been brought through the fire where the Lord has asked this question to you and answered it? I was sharing with my wife, Stephanie, on our way. Well, actually, I shared with her a day or two later. One of the things I look forward to when we go on long trips, what I call long, 13 hours of driving, that's long for me. When we go on those trips, one of the things that is usually very blessed to me is the drive itself. It is a time to ponder. It is a time of peace. It is a time of communion. Sometimes I'll have a thing in my ear listening to sermons or listening to scripture being read. And that's the way it was on the way up. On the way back, not so much. I'll say it was the most trying time I've ever had behind the wheel. It all started in Tennessee. It started when I saw the big billboard. They got billboards all over in Tennessee with Jesus supposedly on them. And they're telling people the need of the hour is to repent. And they're telling people to choose Christ. And they're telling people and warning everyone what they need to do. But this one particular billboard had the Jesus, so to speak, or whatever they thought he looked like. He had his arms open and he was asking the question, will you come to me? Will you come and receive me? Will you come and choose me? And usually when I see those things and I think about those things, the Lord quickens to me the truth. And he quickens to me that no man can come to him unless he is drawn, unless the Lord, it is his children that comes to him. But this day it was different. It came to me with such a paralyzing fear. I started to think of all the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who saw this billboard. And I started to think about all of the churches that have this as their moniker and all of these blessed, so to speak, churches that are all across the United States that speak this message and all across the world that tell man that they have this power to come to Christ anytime that they want to. And I started to be destitute, my soul. And I started to be tormented. And I started to be like, I said, Lord, have I been deceived? Is the truth that I believe you revealed to me many years ago, has it all been a lie? Is this how easy it is? Is this truly what life is? And in my flesh, and in my way that I want to be different than everybody, has it been my flesh? Has it been me that has said, I don't want to follow the masses because wide is the gate that leads to destruction? So I need to be in the line that's narrow. And I've made that line narrow for myself. So I have all of these thoughts and these torments. And it lasted from Tennessee to Georgia to Florida. And as I'm driving along and all of these thoughts and fears starting to overcome me. And they're starting to come into my life and I'm starting to be very fearful. One thing I can honestly say is I'm hardly ever fearful behind the wheel. I can see wrecks and things on the road and it, the Lord's strength and peace, but this day was different. We came on I-75 on the way home. There were two wrecks, very bad ones. And both times that I saw them, the fear of death came upon me. The fear of living outside of Christ came upon me. And I can't explain to you how tormenting it was. And I can't explain to you how horrible it was. But this verse, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? I started to put what I thought the Lord had revealed to me in my past and what He'd revealed to me up to that hour. And I put it up against all the things that the world says the Lord was. And I said, is this who the Lord is? And I got no comfort. And I got no peace that whole ride home. And as I was coming home, I kept praying and saying, Lord, I don't have any strength, and I certainly don't have the way to get us home safely. I don't have that ability to transport myself to get my family home. And so I started thinking about it, and I started becoming just very burdened, very heavy. And these things, it's hard to explain. The best way that I can explain it is the absence of the Lord. Experientially. I know that He was leading. I know that He was guiding. I know that He was trying me. I understand that now. But in the midst of it, I groped in the dark and I couldn't find my Lord. I looked and I cried out for peace. I had no peace. All I had was thoughts of me putting what I believed was religion or what I believed to be the truth up against today's religion. And I was found wanting. Everything I looked for was in myself. Everything I looked for was in my intellect. Everything I looked for was, what knowledge do I really have? What knowledge have I ever been given? What is knowledge? You know, the whole thing. And in the absence, and what the Lord finally brought me to was showing me what man is left to himself. That's what you have. That's all you have, is to look at how you can save yourself, how you can get from point A to point B in your own safety, in your own security, in your own intellect, in your own knowledge. And if that's truly what life is, that is death. It was death for me. And then verse 26 says, lift up your eyes on high. That's what the Lord had to come and say to me. Lift up your eyes on high. And I had no peace. And I had nothing until that moment, when at the end of the trip, when we were coming home, and we were very close to Lakeland, and the Lord just flooded me with peace and His presence. And all of that other stuff was gone. All of those other doubts were gone. All of those fears were gone. And the Lord revealed Himself as the God of all comfort. And the Lord revealed Himself as the God of all strength. And the God of all grace. And the God of all peace. And the God of all love. And He took me away from me and He slayed me. He slayed the creature responsibility. He slayed the creature dependency. He slayed the creature lifting up self. And He revealed Himself as everything in my life. And that, my dear one, is how we get from point A to point B. How we get from year 2017 to 2018 and beyond. The Lord must reveal Himself as the Lord of all. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of His might. For that He is strong in power. Not one faileth. When I read and the Lord, the Holy Spirit testifies of my Lord in His Word, He tells me how strong He is. And how truly weak I am in myself. When I read these words, the words of David came to me that he said at the end of 1 Chronicles. If you'll turn with me over there now to 1 Chronicles 29. And I want you to listen. Lord willing, the Lord gives you ears to hear. But listen to the words that the Lord gave David. Beginning in verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. These are the words of a child of God being brought to the end of himself to see his Lord as everything. Have you ever been brought to these words? Have you ever been tried? And it's necessary to be tried. It's necessary to be. It is of the urgent hour that our souls are tried, that we are emptied of ourselves, that our dependency and our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it's of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. David says to his Lord, Lord, everything is yours. There is no creature in that statement. There is no man lifting up himself and saying, Lord, I'm so thankful you've done your part. I've got this. I'll do my part now. I'll come to you. I'll will myself. I will sit there. You poor Jesus, as you're standing there with your arms open, and you can't save me. Only I can save myself by choosing you, by coming to you. If that is your Lord, that is a Lord of the world. A powerless God who has no power and no salvation in himself. That salvation is in you. And if your salvation is in you to save yourself, you will absolutely perish unless these scriptures are lies. And I don't believe they are. I believe they're breathed out by God Himself. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit. And nothing can be added to them, and nothing can be taken away from them. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Lord, you are the Lord of all strength. You are the Lord of all greatness. You raise up. You put down. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And if that isn't powerful enough, verse 14 just speaks to my soul so deeply, because that is the language of Canaan. It's the language of the church. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Lord, who are we? How are we any different than the world? How is it that you have chosen me, a wretched sinner? How have you chosen these people, Lord? We have sinned against you over and over again. And this picture, this power, this truth is where grace resides. Where we start to learn and we're taught who the God of all grace is. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. If we come to the house of God today to praise God for who he is, we are giving him of his worship that he has offered and authored in us. It's a reciprocation. That power does not start with us. If we have any ability to lift up our voices and pray and to seek the Lord, it is because of the Lord. That's what David said, of thine own have we given thee. Lord, it's your faith that causes me to believe. It is your grace that has saved me. It is your power that has put down my old nature. It is you, Lord, that has willed me to come to you, not my will. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners as were all our fathers. And our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Our days here on earth, yes, they are a shadow. I think that's one thing the Lord impresses upon me many, many days, especially these kinds of days when we flip a calendar. Because the Lord is not bound by time, but you and I are. And we turn a calendar and we say, oh, it's a new year. And immediately I think, well, how old am I going to be this year? How old are my children going to be? How old is my wife going to be? What is this year going to have in it? We think it. That's the way our mind goes. We think about those thoughts all the time. That's our carnal mind. Will I live to the next year? What will this be? And we get fearful. There's all these diseases in the world, and there's all these things, and there's war in the world. You know, there's just so much turmoil and so much non-peace, if I can use that. So much anxiousness. And the Lord has to show us. And when I say He has to, it's because He does. He's faithful to Himself. We'll read that again here in a moment. That He's faithful when we are not. We're not faithful every day. We don't seek Him every day. And yes, do we have a routine in our life? Yes. Does that include reading the Bible and praying? Yes. But if He's not faithful to bring us in those moments and those hours, they're fruitless. They're absolutely fruitless. It's all, like David said, Lord, of Thine own have we given Thee. You're the author and finisher of faith. You give Thy faith. You bring me to believe. And that's what He showed me on my trip home. I can't will myself. I can easily walk down the path the world does. I really can. Oh, it's easy for me to say, oh, it's in my power to do these things, and then me set out to do it. But the Lord don't let me go far. Why? Because He's put His fear in my heart. And that fear tells me that I can't do anything without Him. And that fear tells me that the God of all grace is the God of all strength, the God of all life. He is the resurrection and the life. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build Thee a house for Thine holy name cometh of Thine hand and is all Thine own. Those words that David uttered there are truly truth. O Lord, we can't do anything without You. Jesus said it Himself, without Me you can do nothing. I am the vine, You are the branches. If you've ever taken a branch off a vine, you know it will not live. I remember that years and years ago, when we first taught the children that in school. We went outside and we took a branch off the vine. And we kept it in a drawer every day out there, every day school. We'd pull that out. One of the kids, they were all little. It's one of them blessed times, they were all little. And each day a different one would go back there and we'd pull that stick out. I don't know if any of them remember that. And first it started with all that green on it, you know, and every day we'd go back. Somebody would go back there and they'd pull it out. We kept watching. It'd get, it was dead, then it'd get brown, then it'd get black, then it'd be... Finally, we threw it away. There was no life in it. And there's no life in us if we depart from Christ. If our minds and our hearts and we walk a different way, if we walk according to this world, if we walk according to our fallen nature, there's no life there. Life abides in Christ alone. Back to our text in 40. Why sayest thou? I think we're in 27 now. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Have you ever thought that the Lord doesn't watch or doesn't know what you're doing, that there are things you hide from Him, that there are things that you do you hope He doesn't see? Jesus said these words in Mark 4:22. He says, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. The Lord is the all-seeing eye. The Lord omnipotent, He reigneth. And I don't know about you, but that's comforting to me. Not to my flesh, it's not, but to my soul and to my new nature, it is. that there's nothing I need to convince the Lord of. There's nothing I need to tell the Lord. I don't need to tell Him about what I'm going through. I don't need to tell Him about what's so wicked in this world. There's nothing hid from Him. That's a comfortable place to be. 28 says, "Hast thou not known?" He asked another question. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" That's why I told you this morning, the thing impressed upon me the most as I come to the house of God today, I come with you people that I missed last week, and I say, wow, look at the Lord's faithfulness. Yes, we have some sick ones missing today, but the Lord brings His people week after week. Why? Is there a desire in you for the Lord and His truth? The Lord is faithful. And I think of that. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, I love those words, everlasting, that means never runs out. The everlasting God and the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See that? God is faithful. Well, what is He faithful to? The call. He's faithful to call you and bring you with power to the Son, Jesus Christ. Because there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Life and the resurrection life is in Christ. Well, how do I get there, Lord? I know I can't. God is faithful. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Lord, how am I kept? How do I not wander away? The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And then in 2 Timothy 2:13, the passage I was alluding to earlier, if we believe not, and there's many times we don't, many times we lose faith, so to speak, our faith. I can't believe. Just like I was on the way home, those things came upon me with such darkness, and there was, he left there to grope it. I had nothing, but the Lord was faithful. But He had to show me that. And it's a painful and very lonely time to be left in that. But necessary. Necessary to know what your life is without Christ. Just as the church in Song of Solomon, when she was out in the street looking for the Lord and saying, "Have you seen Him? I need Him. I need Him. I know you need Him, but you can't find Him. Remember your slothfulness. Remember you wouldn't get up. Remember you wouldn't do this." No, you wouldn't. I'm not faithful. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. That is powerful to me because it means He does not depend on me. And He doesn't depend on the creature, and He doesn't depend on the church to receive Him and to pick Him. And to choose Him, He abideth faithful in the mission to save His people from their sins. Verse 29 says, I didn't finish 28. We have to turn it over. Neither is weary, there is no searching of His understanding. Yes, His ways are so much higher than my ways. You don't know how many times lately that's been impressed upon me because of how many times I've uttered, "I wouldn't do it that way. I wouldn't go that way. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do that." But His ways are so much higher than mine. He giveth power. I love the Word of God because sometimes, you know, I know all of those works people come up and they'll pull their little verses out and they'll say, I'm being told to do this. I'm being told to do that. But when you really look at the Word of God, you see that the Lord is a jealous Lord. And not only is He's jealous of all glory and power belonging to Him. He doesn't share that with man. He doesn't. And this is that type verse that leads us into our text today. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Now, I don't know where you find the creature in that. I don't know where you find man and his ability. I don't know where you find the strength of man to come to God and come to Christ and say, "You will give me of what you have." Because I don't see that there. I see a qualifying verse that tells me when we get to our text, how do we wait upon the Lord? He giveth power to the faint. Notice it's to the faint. We are faint every day as we fight the trials in this life, as we fight the wicked one, as we fight those things that just tear us down. And they're designed that way to show us that this isn't heaven. This isn't our resting place. And the Lord is such a faithful Lord to show us that. He giveth power to the faint, those that have been emptied of themselves. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How much faith do you get from the wisdom of men every day? We turn on the TV to find out the weather and the wisdom of men. We turn on the TV to find out what's going on in the world and how men view what's going on in the world. That's the wisdom of men. And we follow that. We watch the financial people. They tell us what the trends are. We listen to all the health nuts out there that tell us how to live longer, that tell us what's better for us. That's the wisdom of men. Put it all in the same package. It's the wisdom of men. Paul said, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. To bring forth that power and that unction in your soul to believe God more than any man. To believe and trust in the Lord. That's the power of God to do so. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Later in 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul said, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." We hear many words. We're swayed by words. But the power of the Lord in the soul of the child of God can never, never be compared to. It can never be thwarted. It can never be put down. I think about that so many times, how I fall so short every day in believing and trusting, and so much to be worried about. And the Lord the only I'm not anxious is when the Lord says, "Peace be still." Your anxiousness, as long as I have rest in the Lord, as long as He bears me up, as long as He renews my strength, I have strength. Now, children in the room, listen to verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I've got an older son who's almost 19 years old, strong boy. Very strong. And I look at him because there's things we do together, and he's past me in strength. And so I sometimes, if we're like yesterday, we were lifting something heavy, I put him on the heavy end because he's stronger than me now. And I think what it is and what it was to be at that age. And I see him, he'll lift weights and he'll take care of himself, and I see the youth doing that and how much they put stock into those things. And I understand it. I understand how strength makes you feel. There's a comfort in it. But the youth shall faint and be weary. See, the reason the youths are used here is because they are the ones filled with vigor and strength. And the Lord says, even those youths will be reduced to nothing. They have to depend on me also. I must be their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You say, oh, what a dire picture. No, it's not. It's a glorious picture. Because even in our, when we're not faithful, when we seek to add to our stature, when we seek to be strong in the things of this world, the Lord says, I will make you fall. You will depend upon me. And it's funny not to, you know, pick on him. Love him. But he woke up this morning with a bad sore throat. And he looked so weak. That strong boy that was helping me yesterday, today, just looks so weak. The Lord uses those afflictions and He'll use those just little things like that. And all of a sudden, we can do nothing like we did the day before. We're dependent. And He is so faithful to show His people that, to bring us to the end of ourselves. And then we come to our text this morning. Now we've gotten to our text. Now you know what the mindset is. Now you know where the Lord is coming from. What He said to Isaiah. Why He says, but they that wait upon the Lord. Waiting is patience. It is a fruit of His Spirit. It is the power of Him to make us wait. It's just like He said in 29. He giveth power to the faint. How can we wait? I told you, on that trip home, I was waiting. That's a long time to get out of Tennessee and then to get to Georgia. Georgia's a long state. And it was even longer that day. Then you get into Florida and I'm like, Lord, I need peace. I need strength. But it wasn't coming. Well, what sustained me? How did I get, as I said, from A to B? What sustained me? Who gave me patience? Who caused me to wait upon the Lord for His revelation of life? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, how much we need to be renewed. I was talking to Frankie before we left. I said, yeah, it's good to get away. Because, you know, sometimes as you do the same thing over and over every day, it gets very stale and you get to be bitter and you get to be just not grateful for what you have. And then when you get away, the Lord shows you what He's given you and He gives you that thankful heart. We get exercised in that and the renewing of the Lord over and over. I've had enough of these religious people that tell me that God did this for me on the cross. Now it's for me to go live life, to go and seek Him every day, to bring Him to me. I've tried that. I've been there. It doesn't work. He must bring me. He's my strength. He gives power to the faith. He gives to them. He increases strength. David said it this way. And David said this when Saul's people were sent to his house to surround the house to kill him. David wrote this in Psalm 59:9. He said, because of His strength will I wait upon Thee. Well, David, as the direness of the situation is coming and people are coming to kill you, how can you sit there and wait upon instruction from the Lord? How can you wait to hear the Lord from what to do? Because of His strength will I wait upon Thee, for God is my defense. That's our defense in all of our trials and hardships. That's our strength in this life. God is our strength. He is our patience. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The patient waiting for Christ? The Lord direct my heart that way? Yes, Lord. Direct my heart to the patient waiting of Thee. Oh, Lord, give me patience every day to wait upon You. Set me in that place. And, Lord, cause me to lie down and wait. I said this passage started with great rest, comfort. Their warfare is accomplished. It ends in great rest. It tells us where our accomplishment is. It's in Christ's strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Paul said in Galatians 5:5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." We wait for it. We wait for His righteousness because it's been revealed to us we have none of our own. We wait for His faith because we've been shown that ours fails every day of our life. Oh Lord, give us of this patience to wait upon Thee. And the rest of this, they shall. You know, I've told many times how much I love the shalls. I can understand why those ones were called hard shell Baptist. They believed in those shalls. The Lord said, "I shall do it." He did it. I do too. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We went to Dollywood one day. It was cold. I mean, it was very cold. And they had most of the rides closed, and some of my kids like to ride some roller coasters, but as it got warmer, it got past freezing, I think it got up to 34, they decided to open the tallest roller coaster they got that's on top of a hill, and it's called Wild Eagle. So my son and I, my oldest son, said, "I want to ride that." I said, "Okay." And we walk into this ride, and it just opened. And we walk in, and this, our text today, is placard right there on the wall. Because it's called Eagle. You know, Eagle's ride, the Wild Eagle ride. So we get all the way up there, and I tell you what, it's a beautiful place to be. You get in this thing and you go way up on top of this roller coaster. It takes you way up and you're looking out. You see the mountains. You're up there with them. And you're looking down. It's beautiful and it's breathtaking. It's also pretty scary. But I thought about this passage and I thought about how is it? I mean, man can devise a way for me to get up to look down at the mountains. And here I am looking down at the mountains. But I had to come back down. It doesn't sustain me. I can climb a mountain, sit on top of the mountain and look up there, but I can't live there. This is not a physical mountain. This is not a physical eagle. How does the Lord make me soar? How does the Lord take me away from this life and all the things that easily beset me and the sins and make me rest in where He is? Well, all those things that are laid up for me in spiritual places, those high places, that where the Lord, all of my spiritual, everything for me is up in Christ. How do I get there? How am I made to? Well, that's what He tells us. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. Remember, this was for the faint. They and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is what we have in Christ. John 12:32 says, "And I, if I be lifted up," this is Christ speaking, "from the earth will draw all men unto me." That's how we're lifted up. That's how in Christ is where we soar. Where in Christ is where we have the wings of Christ, so to speak, to fly over the trial, to fly over Satan, who's the prince of the power of this air. And we must be lifted higher than him. And we are in Christ. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Exodus 15:18 says, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." And in Luke 1:33, we're told, "Shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." That is my everlasting Lord. How do I get to the end of that trial? He must bear me up on His wings. He must make me soar over who I am in myself. That's how self is put down, the Lord Jesus Christ. May this Lord come to you this year. May He bring us as a people, as a church, in Him to soar high above all of these things that would drag us back down to here and tell us this is what our life is. And may He show us that life is in Him, the life here and the life to come. Our text one more time. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Dear Heavenly Father, may You add Thy power. May You come with power to our souls to lift us up with Thee as only Thou can, for the praise and glory of You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.